As we heard last week from our visiting missionary, obedience is Jesus' love language. That's what he said last week. Obedience is Jesus' love language. So each of us have ways that we prefer to show love for someone, but also ways that we like to receive love. Sometimes they're the same, sometimes they're different. That's not the direction we're going this morning. But as we see in Scripture, and as we were reminded last week, obedience is Jesus' love language. Our obedience to him is a key way that he tells us he wants to receive love from us. Now, I know that sometimes Christians have talked about obedience, doing what God says, in some unhelpful and even untrue ways, sort of overemphasizing essentially we get right with God by doing enough good stuff, which is completely contrary to the gospel. Okay? But on the other side, sometimes, and I know that this tends to be sort of some of the circles that I've run in, my generation, have tended to go to the opposite extreme, which basically ends up saying that what we do doesn't really matter at all. It's all about grace, it's all about God's goodness, so what I do really doesn't matter all that much. And that would be also false and contrary to the gospel. But our readings today show clearly that to follow Jesus as Lord means that we need to take seriously doing what he commands. So our psalm for today, Psalm 119, the writer declares the joy of obeying God and his word. And he writes this: "With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I've stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight as much as in all riches. I meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Oh, how beautiful and fulfilling and wonderful to obey God's commands," he says. Jesus himself calls us to obey. So, for example, in the famous Great Commission, Jesus says in Matthew 28, when he speaks to his disciples after he's been raised from the dead, he speaks to them and says, "All authority has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." Go make disciples, and part of that is baptizing and teaching them to obey what Jesus has commanded. Jesus actually calls his people to obey, to follow after him. We are not saved by being obedient. Just have to say that out front. We are not saved by being obedient. We are saved entirely by God's grace, which he gives to us, which we receive in faith. And as his saved people, as his followers, we are called to follow, to obey what he calls us to do. Now, I know that most of us here today got to hear the challenging message from our visiting missionary last week. And many have talked to each other and to me about how can we now respond to what he was saying. And as he said in the presentation, and as our readings say very clearly this morning, that we respond to God by being obedient, by putting into practice what he and his word says. Yes, the call for some is to serve as a missionary in dangerous parts of the world, but here in Loganville, just as much as in the Middle East, we are called to live lives of obedience to God. Submitting to Jesus, that's what following him as Lord means, doing what he says, submitting to him and following his way. And so this morning, I want to offer three reasons that obedience to Jesus, obedience to his call, three reasons why doing that matters. There certainly could be more, but I want to offer three. Three things that obedience to Jesus brings and why that matters for us. So the first is this: obedience to Jesus deepens our relationship with him. So being obedient, living that out, displays our love for Jesus, but it actually starts to deepen our love and our relationship with him. So in John chapter 14, Jesus himself says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." I mean, Jesus connects love and obedience together. This is Jesus. This is not Old Testament law. This is Jesus himself. And he says that if we love him, we will do what he commands. Jesus connects our love for him with our obedience to him. Or as John writes in 1 John chapter 5, he says, "This is the love of God," that is, our love for God. "This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments." And he assures us that his commandments are not burdensome. This is how we show love for God, by obeying what he calls us to do. A seminary professor of mine now has 4 grown sons. And when they were younger, he taught them this definition of obedience, just children obeying their parents. He taught them this definition, and especially when they were being ornery and needed a reminder, he would say it to them again and make them say it back. But his definition of obedience that he taught his sons is, "Obedience is doing what I say when I say it, because you love me and I love you." Obedience is doing what I say when I say it because you love me and I love you. And obedience to Jesus is important because we love him and he loves us. Do I love my children because they obey me? Of course not. But we see so clearly how the relationship improves when they do. I mean, obedience with a good attitude is one of the greatest things in the world from a young child. But obedience displays our love for Jesus, and in fact, doing so actually deepens our relationship with him. Doing what he tells us to do actually transforms us and develops a greater love for Jesus in us. When we willingly follow Jesus, we discover that our hearts are actually changed and our relationship with him is deepened. Being obedient to what he teaches, doing what he calls us to do, shows that we love him, and as we do so, we find that our hearts are changed and our relationship with God is deepened. Or to use the language of our vision statement here at Holy Cross, obedience is one of the ways that helps to lead us into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Obedience to Jesus deepens our relationship with him. Second, obedience enacts Jesus' reign. It puts it into practice. It enacts his kingdom reign. It does not bring his reign. God is already sovereign king and ruler of the world. Our obedience doesn't somehow make him king, but our obedience to him enacts, it displays, it personalizes his reign, and it transforms individuals and communities. Obedience to Jesus enacts his reign in our lives and in the wider world. So when we pray in the Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done," these are not sort of two totally separate items on a list. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. They're intimately connected. So when we say, "Thy kingdom come," we're saying, and part of that kingdom coming, may your will be done here on earth by us. Doing the work of the kingdom, doing the will of God, is part of enacting that kingdom that has come. And our obedience enacts his kingdom values and practices in the world. So in Isaiah chapter 9, which is typically read in our tradition around Christmas time, Isaiah 9 says of Jesus' kingdom, "Over his kingdom, he will reign, rule over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore." And so justice and righteousness are the hallmarks of Jesus' kingdom. And so our just and righteous acts display his reign of justice and righteousness. So when we are obedient to Jesus, your obedience points to his beautiful kingdom. When you take the place of humility and love and serve your spouse, you are enacting Jesus' kingdom. When you serve the poor and needy as Jesus commands, you are enacting Jesus' kingdom. When you, children, youth, when you obey your parents, you are enacting Jesus' kingdom. When you turn off the TV or the computer, when something inappropriate comes on, you are enacting Jesus' kingdom of love that values individuals as people made in the image of God instead of treating them as objects for your amusement. When you are kind to a disobedient child and show love for the thousandth time, you are enacting Jesus' kingdom. Jesus' kingdom is established with justice and righteousness and love and mercy and grace. And when we are obedient to him and display these virtues, we are enacting his kingdom reign in this world. And so our obedience puts into practice, it enacts his reign. And third, our obedience makes Jesus look good. Our obedience makes our Lord look good. Our obedience reflects well on Jesus. So one of the most common objections that non-Christians in our world have is that self-proclaimed Christians don't live lives that look like Jesus. The world accuses us of not actually living in obedience to Jesus the way that we say we should. When we are disobedient, we actually make Jesus look bad in the eyes of the world. But when we are obedient to what he commands, when we follow him as we should, we actually make Jesus look good in the eyes of the world. So Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, he tells his followers to let your light shine before others so that they may see your good deeds and think you're wonderful. But so that they can see your good deeds and give glory to your Father who is in heaven, because our good deeds make him look good. As Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 2, keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you, because people will speak against us no matter what, but when they do, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of his coming. When we are obedient to Jesus, living just and righteous and grace-filled lives, it makes Jesus look good in front of the world. So, when children behave well, it reflects well on parents and the family, right? We understand that concept. Not in the inappropriate way when parents derive our self-esteem from our children's performance. That's a problem. But we understand the concept that in a healthy way, when children act well, it reflects well on the family. We understand that concept. When children in a school behave well, it reflects well on the teachers and the administration. And in the same sort of way, when we live as God commands, we reflect well on him before others. Jesus looks good when his people live lives of obedience. Now, it is absolutely essential that in the context of all of this, it is absolutely essential that we always remember that our place with Jesus is never dependent on our obedience. We are not and we cannot be saved by living good enough lives. You know, of course, the average American does, in fact, believe in heaven and hell, but they're also convinced that they're good enough to get into heaven. I'm pretty good. That's what matters. I mean, there are other people that are bad, but I'm pretty good, and that's really ultimately what matters. But you are not and cannot be accepted by God by being good enough any more than, say, my daughter is accepted in my family as a Guernsey because she's obedient enough. You can only be accepted by God because of what God has done for you in Jesus, through his grace poured out upon you on the cross, where Jesus took your sin upon himself and clothed you with his righteousness. on that place where Jesus swallows up sin and death and rises victorious on Easter. And when we receive his gift of love and forgiveness, which we receive in faith, and we are adopted as his family and made new. And that has absolutely nothing to do with how good you are. And then as those dearly beloved adopted children, we are commanded to put it into practice and do what he tells us to do. God, I know some people, especially in some of the circles that I've run in, have problems with this language, but God doesn't. God has no problem calling them commandments and expecting us to really, truly obey. So in our passages today, we see specific commandments on things like anger, lust, divorce, forgiveness, reconciliation, oaths. We see Paul giving specific instructions on avoiding divisions within the church. In Micah, God calls sort of positively to pursue justice and kindness and humility before God. Especially following our missionary presentation last week, some were sensing a nudge from the Lord to give financially to Jesus' work, either through the church or directly to mission. This again is something the Bible explicitly commands us to do, to give generously of our resources and finances. And we need to take seriously the specific ways that God tells us to follow him, not trying to explain them away, but submitting to them and obeying. Because see, obedience to Jesus matters. Obedience deepens our relationship with him. Obedience enacts his reign in our lives and in the world, and our obedience makes him look good. It reflects well on our Lord when his people live as we should.